Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone, to the Marketing Vanguard, Leading Voices in B2B Innovation. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media. I'm your host today. And today we have Keith Goodman, VP Corporate Sales and Marketing at Modern Postcard. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you very much, Paula. It is great to be here.
I appreciate your time. So let's just jump in. With more B2B marketers integrating digital and offline strategies, how has the role of direct mail evolved in supporting digital channels like email, programmatic, and social, in your opinion?
Actually, multiple different ways, but there's the old saying in marketing, it takes 10 touches, 15 touches, whatever number of touches, and they're not all going to be email, they're not all going to be digital, and they're not all going to be direct mail, but there'll be different types of media. So any touches you get are good. Mm-hmm. And there are certain aspects of direct mail that actually play very well with digital and email. One of the big benefits of direct mail is there's a lot of targeting that on the data side that is very robust when you're matching it to a specific physical location. So there's a lot of fields, whether they're demographic, firmographic, that are associated with a physical address than a digital ID. So you have access to a lot more data mm-hmm. that you might not have in a digital environment. Now, digital also has data that you might not have in a postal environment. But when you overlay the two of them, you get a very powerful ability to target. And then consider yourself as a consumer, because you pretty much buy everything other than data, which you buy for business, but right. everything else, you're a consumer.
Right.
And many times when something comes to you for the first time digitally, it could be disregarded. It's just, mm-hmm. it might be on your phone, your computer, and you just blow past it. When something physically comes in the mail and you have that tactile touch, you're actually holding your hands, you're looking at it, the imagery stands out, and it captures your attention. So yep. many times the direct mail will actually do the heavy lifting.
Yep, I agree. I can speak from my personal experience. If I get a direct mail piece, sometimes I sit on it for a couple of weeks before I do something with it, but that hard exactly. piece is still there to remind me the next time.
Here's the beauty of integrating it with digital and email is that you're not in buy mode. When you get that mail piece, you might be sitting in front of the TV, looking at your mail, drinking a glass of wine mm-hmm. at the kitchen table, and you don't have your computer in front of you. You don't have your phone in front of you. You're in a mode of going through your mail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you set it aside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the next day, an email shows up promoting that product. Now you're actually at the computer. It's very easy at this point to click on the URL or the link and actually either register, buy it, save it. But you're now in a mode where you can actually reply to it. And you might say, okay, I remember this. Mm-hmm. Now I'm seriously thinking about it. And then the next day you're waiting for somebody in your car and they're taking forever and you're starting mm-hmm. to check some stuff on your phone.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
the digital ad pops up yep. and now you're yep. thinking, I have a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead and buy this now. So many times what happens is the direct mail will actually do the heavy lifting because of the amount of real estate you have. Mm-hmm. And you actually have somebody captured for that period of time. They say, I'm interested. And now that digital ad pops up when you have a few extra minutes and all of your credit card information is conveniently loaded onto your phone. So you can just go ahead and order. Mm-hmm. And so many times that's really where we see the power of that combined media.
And do you find with your clients, are they trying to use weighted attribution or do they consider last touch or how is that evolving?
That's a great question, and there's no real answer for that.
Yeah, it used to be last touch, remember?
It depends yeah. on which organization came up with the idea first, and they will normally skew the attribution in favor of themselves.
Of course.
And unfortunately, so many larger companies operate, the different marketing groups operate in silos from one another, and they're actually very competitive with one another because they all want attribution for that sale so that they get a better budget next year.
Yep.
They don't normally work together very well. They don't play well in the sandbox.
Yeah.
Many times we'll sit down and go through the attribution process before we even launch the program. So we were saying, okay, is it last touch? Is it first touch?
Mm-hmm.
Or let's be adults about this. Let's say, look, the best touch was direct mail first, digital second, email third, and then continuing to do digital, or email first, digital, soften the market, put out the direct mail campaign, or maybe direct mail had no lift, or maybe digital had no lift.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what's the magic combination that actually creates the highest conversion rate, and look at and say, this is the sequence that worked best, so that you take attribution as a group saying, if we combine it this way in this sequence, then this is our best, most profitable response sequence. And from this point forward, that's how we're going to do it. So that's where we've really seen the highest success, is getting everybody to work together and put together attribution that is based on the best combination of the media.
And I totally agree with you. And it's the same thing that we counsel our clients. Omnichannel, in our opinion, is the way to go.
And if we're really going to do omnichannel, we really have to look at the way that the media interact with each other and how they really support and benefit each other, versus which is the media that should get the attribution credit.
Totally agree with you. Are there any new strategies or technologies you're leveraging to better connect direct mail with digital engagement in the B2B campaign?
There is, and it's what I just talked to you about really determining, instead of testing different media, we're actually testing the sequencing of that media in order to see where we're getting the best results. And then one of the things that we are trying to do is leverage the benefits of each media in certain areas that kind of maximize not only the response, but the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the examples is we're really working heavily on postal retargeting.
Okay.
Where we're able to reverse append and identify a postal address based on a cookie to a web visitor, and then send direct mail to bring people back to the site, or move people into a conversion media, which might be a phone call or ordering a catalog or something else, another step in the program to get people that have left a website. And by combining these media, and then at the same time, when people respond from a direct mail piece, being able to then send them an email and hit them with digital ads. By combining these media in different sequences based on certain activities, we're able to drive them to certain activities that move them along that funnel in purchasing. So that's really where we're focusing a lot of our strategies, is what are these sequences and what are these processes that are yielding us the highest conversion rates? And the nice thing about it is we're a very active advertising company ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing seminars, we're doing webinars, we're doing digital programs, we're doing geofencing of different events. We're doing a little bit of everything and a lot of direct mail. So a lot of what we test is what we're able to bring out to our clients in the B2B space, because if it's working for us, we feel much more comfortable offering that to a client, having experimented and done the testing with our own prospects.
That makes total sense, because you can preach all day long, like we do as well. But if you have real world case histories using your own marketing, that makes sense, because you can present the results to them.
And we're in a competitive marketplace.
Yeah.
Hardly any other marketers out there that are trying to integrate all this stuff together. So it's good having that exclusive in the marketplace.
You wish. So what are some of the biggest challenges B2B marketers face when integrating direct mail into their digital strategies, and how do you suggest they overcome them?
The other groups in their company.
The fiefdoms, right?
The attribution problem is pretty much, and we run into that here too. I think a lot of it is, it's funny, I saw this chart from about 20 years ago, and it showed that the marketing tech stack at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 5 applications from 20 years ago.
Now what is it?
And I'm sure you've seen that chart where it's now like 15,000. Yeah. I think one of the biggest obstacles is you've got 15,000 companies out there marketing to businesses about how they can get them new leads. And just fire up Instagram or YouTube or whatever, and you'll see a million. Everybody's doing those short snippet videos. And they're doing short videos selling how you need to develop mega quantities of content, and you should have 500 videos playing around the clock on every social media channel and constantly driving people to that next step in the funnel. And everybody's trying to sell these 15,000 or 20,000 applications to every small business, and they're being completely deluged with information on how they can generate new leads. And they're jumping at this and jumping at that, and they're getting distracted by all of these shiny new toys.
Yeah. And no cohesion.
There isn't. And they all have a common theory, but they all have their own kind of unique story and process behind them. And it's very confusing for the average small or mid-sized business person to navigate their way through all these different products and services. And everybody's talking about how we can generate you 500 leads in an hour and all this great stuff. And they start trying all this stuff, and they can burn through a lot of money in a very short period of time and not really have any success, because it is not a one size fits all type of marketing program. You really need to sit down and think about, who are my customers? That's a step that I think a lot of people skip, is really trying to figure out who my customers are, what their thoughts are. And one of the things I always talk to our people about is, what keeps our customers up at night?
Yeah.
What are their biggest fears?
Yeah.
If we can solve those fears and actually succeed and be successful in what we offer, then we can do really well. But so many companies are trying to get that sale. They want to sell a program. They want to get that $5,000 contract, that $10,000 contract, where we're really focused on not so much the size of the contract, but can we make that first program successful? Can we identify what keeps their customers up at night and fix that problem and actually communicate how that will happen? And I think that's one of the biggest issues in the market today, is there's too many choices at this point. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, you can burn through a lot of money if you're not careful.
Yeah. And then they have a bad attitude on marketing.
Exactly. And you don't want that to happen. And there's too many people that are new to this that have the technological background, but don't have the marketing background. And I talk to tech companies all the time, MarTech companies, that have a great product, but they don't have a marketing background. Mm. And I have a lot of people that say, oh, the old days are over. It's all AI now.
Yeah.
If you don't give AI the right direction, you're not going
in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you're going to go in the wrong direction. You're going to get bad results. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, create a series of 10 emails to help sell this product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of people stop. Hey, I'm using AI. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to understand the complexities of identifying the right prospects, the messaging that's going to engage them, the messaging that's going to move them into those higher levels or lower levels of the funnel and actually start to work towards a conversion.
And defining what the outcomes the customer want are. Because exactly. as you mentioned a minute ago, so many people just come in, I've got this program, but what is the client's outcome? What is it they're trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And I think somewhere along the way, I probably get 20 emails a day saying they do lead generation. How do you cut through that noise?
I always like to tell them, have you done your research? Yeah.
Most of
we do lead gen for companies. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to sell us lead gen. I think we're pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tells me.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that tells me they didn't visit your website. So with the rise of hybrid and work from home environments, how are you adjusting audience targeting strategies to ensure direct mail reaches the decision makers at the right location?
By calling you. You and I have had.
Well, we do have the linkage. I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. It's no big surprise that there's a lot of people working from home now.
Mm-hmm. We do it.
Half. Right. And there's people like I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the office right now, but part-time I'm at home. Most of the time I'm in the office. But what I found is when I was working from home for about 2 years straight, a lot of the transactions that I was participating in were shipping to my house. When I was booking hotels or travel for work, everything was based on my home address.
Okay.
When I subscribed to newsletters and magazines and I ordered products and I signed up for trade shows, everything was using my home address. Now, as a B2B data provider and compiler, you use that transactional information to start to build out your database.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever I start to process those transactions from start to show up in these databases. So they know that this is probably the best place to get this person. Now, as I move to the office more and more, and I'm here 4 or 5 days a week now, it's very rare that I work from home.
Okay.
Sometimes I do work from the boat. But they don't try to mail me there. Yeah. I don't have anything to the boat. But as that happens, that I'm starting to see more mail here.
Okay.
Because that address is now superseding the home address in these databases.
Okay.
As these databases are updated. And they're updated in real time.
Okay.
I don't have to tell you that. But over time, that address will change.
Yes.
And we have found that to be pretty effective. Now, when you have two addresses, a business and a home, it means that the person is probably local to the business and coming in both, so they're going to get their mail.
Okay.
What we also find is if somebody's just working from home, it'll very rarely, over time, after a year or two, it will very rarely go to the office. But we do find that if we're going to air, it's probably better to err on the home address than the business. But the business is like we send mail to our remote employees every week. They put a package together, they put in an envelope and send the mail to the employee.
Okay.
And I would say most businesses probably have that type of program in place where they are forwarding communications. They might get there late, but eventually that prospect will get that information.
We'll get it.
You're more worried about are people that aren't working with the company, because for probably 2 or 3 years, people were jumping jobs when there were a lot of openings. Now that the job market is starting to tighten,
mm-hmm.
we see people settling in and saying, all right, I'm going to keep this job for a while.
Yeah, I've been reading that as well.
Yeah, so I think that the data will get better over the next year or two as people quit job jumping and people settle in and more companies are pushing their employees back into the office.
Yeah. You're starting to see the bigger companies. I know Disney, Amazon.
Yeah. They're saying, you know what? This experiment didn't work as well as we thought.
Yeah.
Everybody.
We have these big office buildings that we're paying for. We want you here. So
yeah.
Here we do hybrid, 3 days in the office, two at home, and it seems to work logistically.
That's what we're getting ready to do here.
Yeah, I think it helps, especially on Fridays with the traffic, especially in LA traffic, Southern California traffic.
Yeah, the Carlsbad traffic is really bad.
Especially on the boat, right?
Yeah. I'm looking out at that crowded freeway now. No,
Keith, this has been great. I think you've given us a wealth of information that our audience will love to hear about. And I've enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it as well.
And look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be up to LA soon.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.